A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, indeed, he is risen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. He lives. So much contained in the mystery of this day. The mystery of this day, so that we need to celebrate it for 50 days. And we celebrate not only the risen Christ, but also that Spirit whom Christ came to pour forth upon the earth. This day and this season, culminating not only with the living Christ, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is risen indeed. And what does it say as our hearts are restored, filled again with hope, when we know that somehow the future does not have to be the same as yesterday, that hope is always on the horizon, that death can give birth to new life, that death is not the bottom line about history or about ourselves or those we love. That death itself is a mystery that, when opened up and we see more deeply within it, we see that to which it does and can give birth. In this celebration of Easter, Jesus' life, the life of the crucified one, has been given back to him, and in being given back to him, has been given back to the disciple and to us. The utter gratuitousness of that, of God's love for us, the forgiveness it entails, that will be unfolded in varied resurrection narratives throughout this season, and the mission on which the disciples, including ourselves, will be sent. In our account of the resurrection today, Mary Magdalene is the first to go to the tomb, but she does not go in. She simply sees the stone rolled away. We will return to Mary Magdalene this week as she comes back and she experiences the risen Christ. But today, she simply goes to inform the disciples, Peter, of course, and John, the one that he loved with a special love. It refers to the disciple whom Jesus loved. They go to the tomb. Naturally, they hurry. They can hardly believe. What is it? Of course, we are told they did not yet understand this thing about the resurrection, especially a resurrection that would take place before the end times. So what has happened? Has something gone awry? They rush to the tomb. And there, Peter, of course, conscious of his last encounter with his friend, his Lord, with Jesus, when he had denied him. But John, the disciple he loved, runs faster, gets there first. And although he reaches the tomb first, he did not go in, respecting Peter, who goes in first, who sees, but does not yet see. The text does not say yet that he believed. He saw, and as the women in other resurrection accounts, astonished, confused. What does this mean? All it says is that he went in, he saw the burial cloths, but then it refers to the other disciple, the one who had arrived first, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He went in, he saw, and believed. He was the first to believe, and in one sense, therefore, the first to see, to really see, even though Peter had just, with his physical sight, seen first. I've often thought, perhaps it's gone unnoticed many times, that it's an interesting detail in the text, that it refers to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Why would the evangelist include this detail in a text of this magnitude? If indeed the evangelist is somehow related to or is that beloved disciple or comes out of that tradition, it's almost a certain height of egoism or arrogance to throw in the detail about, oh yes, Peter, and the other one whom Jesus loved. Why would such a detail be included? Why is it important to the story? Because it helps to explain why the other disciple saw and believed. It's that special kind of love that was there between the beloved disciple, between John and Jesus, that friendship that allowed John to understand. Now, what he understood, we don't know. Whether he yet cast this within the framework of the notion of resurrection, it may not have been. But what he believed certainly was that this was not the end of the story, that the story had not come to a close with the death of Christ, that indeed Jesus in some ways remains victorious, that life can come forth still, that tomorrow doesn't have to be the same as yesterday. He saw God at work in this, that somehow this was in God's plan. There is more there to see than what meets the eye. There is always more to see than what meets the eye, which is one of the things the resurrection teaches us, that no matter how much historical research we might even do about the resurrection, we'll never come to the affirmation in that way that Jesus lives. It rather takes the eye of faith, the eye of one who truly sees, the eye of one who believes. As it is often said, seeing is believing. But the text today, the resurrection of Jesus, teaches us by way of contrast that believing is seeing. It is only through the eyes of faith that we see more deeply into the meaning of life, the mystery of life, the mystery of death. And we are informed that what led John to that deeper sight was the love that he had for Christ, the kind of love that he had for Christ. In other words, the detail is not superfluous. It teaches us what Christian history has taught, what Gregory the Great, in one of the great sayings, had often said, that indeed love itself is a kind of knowledge. Love itself is a way of knowing. And so today, as we celebrate this feast of the risen Christ, we are invited not only to recognize the love that he had for us, which we've been contemplating during this Triduum time, but also the love that we are called upon to have for him and for one another. It is a celebration of the fact that in the end, love triumphs. Love is stronger than death. The power of love is more powerful than the power of evil. That is our faith. That is what we believe. He is risen indeed. He lives.